second days of Pesach. The second days of Pesach this year, that especially in Eretz Yisrael, Aaron asked about specifically Eretz Yisrael because he's going to be there. Hatzlacha with his flight. And Tefillah and Mitzvah Shem, we're going to daven for him. And the shaila is as follows. Friday this year, the second days of Pesach, is Shvi Shel Pesach, is Yontif. So immediately after Pesach, in Eretz Yisrael, is Shabbos. So we mentioned yesterday that there is a concept in Hilchos Muktzah about, shotsing up everything, calculating the status of everything during twilight, Bein Hashmashos, going into Shabbos. Whatever is Muktzah, the Gemara tells us, whatever is Muktzah going into Bein Hashmashos, Migudis Katsoi Bein Hashmashos, if it had a shame Muktzah going into Bein Hashmashos, that is something that will remain Muktzah for the duration of Shabbos. So if that's the case, there is possibly something very relevant to this year, Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach. Aside for potentially a way that you will get the chametz back from the goy, which is really a sugya on its own that we really have to discuss, how could a person set up a situation that he could acquire it back on Pesach to now make him have ownership only after Pesach, that the ownership only takes effect after Pesach. We're going to leave that aside for now. Or there's some way, shape, or form that you were able to get chametz after Pesach. But how do you approach the issue of all of that going into twilight, going into the Shabbos after Pesach? That's all muktzah. Even if I don't take acquisition of it. Let's say I'm in a situation that I want to move it around. Is it muktzah or is it not muktzah on that Pesach? Even if I'm not going to have eat it or take acquisition, or you'll take care of how the fact that I acquire it, what's the mechanism that you could acquire it. But it just should have a plain old shem muktzah, because what? Bein Hashmashos, going into that Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, which by definition is a question, is it day or is it night? So Bein Hashmashos, going into the Shabbos, it was aser. Why? Because it was still Pesach. Since that Bein Hashmashos prior, going into Shabbos, is Safik Yom, Safik Laila, so therefore it was a Safik Shvi Shel Pesach, so going into Bein Hashmashos, all of that was absolutely prohibited, absolutely Muktzah, and all of that item should now be Aser and Muktzah for the rest of Shabbos, having tremendous ramifications on moving all those items that Shabbos after Pesach. So this is a question that the Rishonim bring up in another context. The Gemara says as follows. There are really two situations, the Gemara says, of a chicken that can lay eggs on Yontif. Beitza shenolda the Yontif. Right? So the Gemara says in one scenario, which is the first Gemara that we're going to analyze, if it was nolda on Yontif, and Shabbos is right next to Yontif, similar to our scenario. So the Gemara says, Nolda Bezeh. The Gemara quotes a Machlekes, but the Gemara says, according to one Deya, Nolda Bezeh what? Asura Bezeh. Says the Gemara, why? The Gemara suggests the reason is because maybe Shabbos and Yontif are Kedusha Achas, and therefore whatever halachos pertain to the first day should pertain to the second day, and they're actually more linked than you think. And then the Gemara suggests that no, maybe it's machlekes whether or not you need hachana, and you need that a weekday should prepare for the holy day. But Tosa says, what do you need all these additional reasons? Tosa says intuitively, and Beitza and Daf Dalet, intuitively I should conclude that of course a person should rationalize that nolda bezeh asur bezeh. Why? Because towards the end of the day Yontif, which the end of the day Yontif even goes into what? Bein HaShmashos. Because Bein HaShmashos by definition is what? Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So because there's a bona fide Safik, whether or not it's Yontif is over, can I do Malacha then? The answer is no. Do I have to keep Shabbos then on a regular Shabbos in Beit HaShemeshos? Yeah. Of course. That's not additional brownie points. That's real suffix. We don't know what the status of that day. It's suffix Yom, suffix Lila. If so, so going into that twilight period, what's the nature of that Beitza that was Nolda B'Yontov? It was obviously what? Usser, it's Nola. It's Muktzah, right? So now, even if it's a Shtei Kedushas, even if the Shabbos is its own independent Kedusha, has nothing connecting it to the day before, there's a much more basic reason why this egg has to be Muktzah. It has nothing to do with what the nature of Shabbos and Yontav and how they connect and Kedusha Achas versus Shtei Kedushas. You don't have to get fancy, says Tosos. What do you say? The old principle of Migo Diskatzai, Bein HaShemeshos. Was it Aser during Bein HaShemeshos or not Aser in Bein HaShemeshos? What's the answer over here? Was it Aser Bein HaShemeshos? What was the answer?
Yes.
Yes. And then therefore it's going to be Aser on Shabbos. The opinion of Noda Bezeh, Aser Bezeh, makes a lot of sense to Tosos. But Tosos is very bothered.
Is that a better answer than Shabbos?
Yes. Much more basic, because I don't need to come on to new concepts. I don't even need to discuss the nature of Shabbos and Yontif. I just have the old principle of Migo Diskatzoi. Tosos says, why did Gemara get so complicated? Why did Gemara have to introduce all these new additional reasons about Kedusha Achas or Hachana? What do you just basically? It's Migo Diskatzoi. It's the classic rule of whatever the halacha was during Bein HaShemeshos sets and determines what the halacha of this item is for the rest of the day. Comes along Tosos in Beitza and Daf Dalet and introduces something fundamental for this sugya. We are entirely wrong. It's true. Migo Diskatzai determines the status of Muktzah from Bein HaShemeshos. But that's if it's not affected, as Tosos says, what's Tosos Lashon? Muktzah Machmas Yom Sha'al. If the only reason practically this was Muktzah was because it's connected, it's hanging over, it's lagging beyond the last day, the other day. So therefore, Tosfos says, that's not something that has the capacity to now determine and change and cause Muktzah for the duration of the next day of Shabbos. Shabbos has to be Muktzah because of something independent from the last day, because of something positive in the Bein HaShemeshos of the new Yom. But if it's just a duration and just a suffix, because maybe it was the last day, Muktzah Machmas Yom Sha'avar, that will be problematic. That will not be problematic. And Tosfos says, my first proof to this klal that I'm inventing and that I'm introducing to you is a Gemara in Beitza. That's exactly why the Gemara had to come on to new reasons why the Beitza would be usher on Shabbos. It's because Shabbos and Yontif are internally connected. It's not because just practically it was usher going into Bein HaShemeshos, because just ushering something practically going into Bein HaShemeshos is not necessarily going to determine it to be Muktzah the entire duration of the next day. And were it not for the fact that Shabbos and Yontif were linked and were Kedusha Achas, still, I would have said, even though practically I would have to abstain from that item for the entire duration of twilight of Bein HaShemeshos, that doesn't necessarily determine it to be Muktzah for the next day. Are there any other proofs to Tosos Klal? Because this is going to be very, very big practical implication. Namely, according to Tosos, potentially, our whole Muktzah Shaila this year on Pesach is going to be what? Mutter. The reason why it was Muktzah going into Shabbos is why? Because of a twilight from Shvi Shel Pesach, from Friday. But if it's not for Yom Shavar, outside of the world of Muktzah, outside of Pesach, on the eighth day in Eretz Yisrael, it's fine. So Tosos would say, if we would ask Tosos, our Shaila, this year, on Yontif, he would say it's absolutely permitted. Were there any other Gemaras that commented on this halach?
Yeah.
So there is. There's a Beferish Gemara in Sukkah that seems to be very, very relevant to this sugya. Yet the only problem is the Gemara has a contradiction in it about two different halachas pertaining to Sukkah. The Gemara says as follows. In Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav, the Gemara says, in Esrog, we know, is Muktzah. Why is an esrog muktzah? Even on Chol HaMoed, an esrog is muktzah. It's muktzah machmas mitzvah. It's set aside for the purposes of a mitzvah. You can't play softball with your esrog. It's katzoy lemitzvah. It's another category of muktzah. Muktzah machmas mitzvah. A sukkah is also muktzah for a variety of reasons, depending on what part of Yontif you find yourself on. If it's Chol HaMoed, it's not muktzah machmas Yontif. It's not muktzah because of the chag, because it's Chol HaMoed, but it also has muktzah machmas mitzvah. But then, an esrog also has these additional issues on Yontif, being because it's Yontif, so it's also muktzah because you can't take it down on the Yontif as well. But the Gemara contrasts the muktzah of esrog and the muktzah of sukkah. The Gemara says as follows: it's the end of the Yontif on Sukkot, which means what? What's the last day of Yontif of Sukkot? Sukkot is which day? Shvi. Shvi. The Gemara tells us Shmini Atzeres is a rego b'fnei atzmo. In Eretz Yisrael, you do not. That's Hoshana Rabbah. In Eretz Yisrael, the Shmini Atzeres, the day after Hoshana Rabbah, you do not sit in a sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. We practically complicate things because we live in Chutz La'aretz, but Shmini Atzeres is a rego b'fnei atzmo. It happens to be conjunction, it has to be linked, but it's a new yontif. So it says the Gemara, what happens to an esrog on the eighth day of Shmini Atzeres after Sukkot? Says the Gemara, when it comes to an esrog, b'shvi asura, but b'shmini muteres. But the Gemara says, but whereas it comes to the wood and the schach of a sukkah, the Gemara says what? Or the noy sukkah, anything that was muktzah in the sukkah,
it's muktzah
even on the eighth day. Even on Shmini Atzeres. Not only on the seventh day. So the Gemara asks in sukkah, why are you differentiating between esrog and sukkah? So the Gemara says as follows. Amr le Rav Papa la Abaye le Rav Yechanan Maishna Sukkah Maishna Esrog. Why would a person draw a different conclusion between the halachas of Sukkah, which is a mitzvah, and the halachas of Esrog, which is a mitzvah? Gemara says Amr le Sukkah Dechazi lebein Ashmoshos Dei Esramele Seudasa Boy Meisav Begava Umechal Begava Iskatzoy lebein Ashmoshos. What in the world did the Gemara just say? So Rabosai, number one, what in the world did the Gemara just say to differentiate between Esrog and Sukkah? Number two, Tosfos is going to have to do some explaining on one side of the Gemara, because only one side of the Gemara helps him. The other side of the Gemara is what? Is a proof against him. Because one of the tzadim of the Gemara is saying that it continues into the eighth day. So Tosfos doesn't really, Tosfos in Sukkah Daf Yud Amud Aleph is a little bit more developing his opinion of what he quotes in Beitza, consistent to his opinion, bringing a few more proofs to his idea. And he doesn't fully flesh out the distinction between Sukkah and Esrog. He quotes the Gemara. But the Rush sheds a little more light and is a little more specific. He explains a person, the Gemara is saying, that is going into the end of the seventh day of Sukkah. Now it's going past the seventh day of Sukkot, and it's during the time of Bein HaShoshos, it's during twilight. The halacha is, actively, if a person is hungry at that time, if a person wants to eat, he has to schlep up and go to the sukkah in an active, kum ve'esse fashion, and therefore needs to consider the fact that that exists befoel, realistically, going into the Bein HaShmoshos period, even towards the end of the seventh day, and the twilight period of the seventh day between the eighth day. Look at the Rush in the source number 5. Source number 5. The Lodami L'Sukkah. Da'amrinan Mishum Di'im Isramalei Suda Bein HaShmoshos. If a person has a Suda during the twilight, even though no one's obligated to eat at that point in time, even though a person is only obligated to eat in the sukkah because of yesterday, because it might be Shvi Shel Sukkis, Dilma Yomu, it might be day, he has to eat in the sukkah. Listen to this, and this is the key. Vitzarech lasos maisa bein ashmashos lecholbo. And this person actively has to do something and is required to do something from the halachos of the 7 day of Sukkot to schlep up to the sukkah and eat there. Says the Rush, since that halacha applies to sukkah, that actively if he would get hungry, he would have to walk to the sukkah. If he's hungry right now, that's something that proactively now creates the shem mukta, and I don't view it as what? As only a historical factor. This is not a classic category of mukta machmas yom shavar, because now, even now, I have the chiyuv to schlep up to the sukkah. Yeah. And whereas lulav and esrog, don't you have that chiyuv to shake a lulav and an esrog during this time period now also? Mamon of Shach, if it's Sukkot and you have the mitzvah of Sukkah, so what other mitzvah do I have? I also have the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. So the Rush is not explaining to us. So, number one, Schwartz is saying, well, Lulav and Esrog, you probably did it in the morning. So therefore, it's not relevant anymore during this twilight period, which is true. But what about a person who goofed? What about a person who didn't wake up on time? What about a person who didn't daven shacharis? And now it's coming into this twilight period, so wouldn't you say it's parallel to a person who now has to eat in a sukkah should also shake lulav and esrog during the twilight period? Says the Ran, no, it's not parallel. It's not true. What's the basic distinction between lulav and esrog on the 7th day of Sukkot and sukkah on the 7th day of Sukkot? One's deraisa and one's derabbanan. Sukkah, to eat in the sukkah, is a mitzvah biblically for 7 days. Therefore, if you find yourself in a situation of suffik, of bein ashmashos, suffik yom, suffik laila, what does a person need to do proactively? He has a chiyuv at that point in time, bein ashmashos, no question. He has to what? Schlep up to the sukkah. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran says, but whereas it comes to what? Lulav and Esrog. Lulav and Esrog in Chutz Laaretz for, outside of really the Beis HaMikdash, for all 7 days, is what? Is only a Chiyav Derabbanan, a Zeichel HaMikdash. It's not a real Derais HaChiyav. So therefore, says the Ran, so when it comes to Bein Ashmashos, and you want to know, am I Mechuyav, a person who didn't take it this morning, and now it's Bein Ashmashos. So is there, and now, a Din Mukta right now, because there's actually a Chiyuv that's existing right now? The answer is what? No. Not when it comes to Lulav and Esrog. Only when it comes to what? Sukkah. And therefore, when it comes to Lulav and Esrog, the only reason why this is Mukta is because it's a Mukta Machmas Yom Shavar. It's because it was Mukta, and it doesn't go into the twilight period. However, when it talks about sukkah, since right now I technically would have an obligation to schlep into the sukkah, so now we don't view it as only a sukkah, a mukta machmas yom sha'avar, but rather we look at it as what now, there's something that's even going into the Bein Ashmashos that continues, and therefore that potentially has the ability to now look at this as anew and answer it for the 8th day as well. And that's how the Rishonim get out of the distinction in the Gemara between sukkah and lulav. But at the end of the day, when Tosfos wants to say, what's the rule and what's the exception to the rule? The rule to my klal is what? Is lulav. The rule of my klal is fitting with what I'm presenting to you from the Gemara in Beitza, that in general, with the exception of sukkah, what? In general, you do not say mukta machmas yom shavar. And just because practically, from a historical perspective, you have to abstain from moving that in the twilight period, because the twilight period might be an extension of the last day, that doesn't create the capacity to prohibit it for the next day, unless there was a proactive reason that you needed to use it, like sukkah, during that twilight period. But when it comes to a Beitza that was born on Yontif, were it not for this other halacha, that Yontif and Shabbos are interconnected, they're Kedusha Achas, just because of the fact that practically I have to abstain from that egg because it was an extension of last day, suffic that it might be the day before, that is not something that enables you to aser it for the next day. Are there any other proofs that Tosfos proves? Yeah. Tosfos has another Gemara. We're not going to go through all of his rayas. He has a few different Gemaras that he thinks highlights this idea. He says another Gemara that's very practical for us. The Gemara that we discussed in Beitza that says a Beitza that was born today and we want to know what the halacha is on the next day. So Gemara was talking about a situation of what? Yontif next to Shabbos. But really, you could really analyze another question. What happens if every chutzlah or it's Yontif? There are what? 2 days Yontif, right? So Yontif, Sheni, next to Yontif Rinsha. What happens if a Beitza was born on this day? What's the halacha in Yontif Sheni, guys? It's Mutter. Ask Tosus, why? Bein Hashmashos going into Yontif Sheni, what was the halacha? Was it Muktzah? It was Muktzah. Why don't you say Migo Diskatzoi? Why don't you say practically it was Aser that should Aser me for the next day? Tosfos says, it's exactly a proof to my opinion. Muktzah Machmas Yom Sha'avar, if it was only Muktzah because historically it was Muktzah, that's not going to have the ability to Aser it for the next day for Yom Tov Sheni. Good. So those are the two proofs we'll stick with right for right now of how Tosfos proves this whole cloud. He gets into a little bit of a corner to explain away sukkah. He says this is what the Gemara means, that if you would need a meal, you would have to go into the sukkah. So therefore, it's not classic muktzah machmas yom sha'avar. It's a different rule. But the general principle Tosa says is what? Muktzah machmas yom sha'avar. You don't have the ability to prohibit it for the next day and say ego diskatzai like you would on a regular classic Shabbos, that I'd look at the situation bein hashmashos going into the next day. All right.
2 days younger, isn't that more of a klal of Kedusha Achas? Like, wouldn't it?
No. 2 days Yontif, it's an interesting question that you're asking. It might, the general assumption, which I thought you were going to go this way, is that 2 days Yontif, the only one situation that it's really 2 days Yontif is Kedusha Achas is Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom HaRichta. By other Yontif, we don't assume that it's Kedusha.
So by Rosh Hashanah, her Beitza was born.
So then I would hear that question. Then maybe you would say that would be different. But it's an interesting point. But we really have to get back to 2 days Yontif, because 2 days Yontif might not be a good example at all, and that might be how the Ritva challenges the whole Yisod of Tosfos. Which brings me to the next point, Rabbi Yosef. The Ritva's commentary on the Gemara in Sukkah. Which Gemara in Sukkah, obviously, is going to be the main Gemara that the Rishonim are going to comment on? The Gemara that draws the distinction between one and what? Esrog and Sukkah. Sukkah and Memvav. Comes along the Ritva and presents everything entirely different. Comes along the Ritva with the Yisod that really, Bein Hashmashos is what decides what the status will be in the continuation for the next day as well. And no matter what the status was and why it became Aser during Bein Hashmashos, is really what's going to affect the next day as well. So therefore, what's the Ritva smiling about when he's trying to explain which Gemara? Therefore, the Ritva is very happy when the Gemara says what? That a sukkah is not only prohibited on the seventh day, but because the sukkah was usher during Bein Hashmashos of the seventh day, so Bein Hashmashos is what causes what? Something to be usher the next day, on the eighth day. The Ritva says, that's what Tosfos was struggling with, says the Ritva, that's a proof to what I'm telling you, that Muktzah Machmas Yom Sha'avar is really a problem. Because practically, it was Aser going into the seventh, the end of the seventh day, going into the eighth day. Yet what does the Ritva need some explaining to do? How do you explain the other thing in Gemara? What's with the Esrog? Says the Ritva, Esrog, when a person is dealing with an esrog, so there's really nothing to do with Yom Tov that's involved. On the seventh day, which is a Yom Chol, a person creates this item, this esrog, to be mukta, not because it's yontif. I'm allowed to drive a car to shul that day, Hoshana Rabbah, right? But the reason why it's mukta is why? Because I, psychologically, set aside this lemon, set aside this item, to be used for what? For a mitzvah, and therefore it's not an ordinary fruit. But says the Ritva, that's psychological haktzas hadas. Is only effective for when the entire day, up until the end of the day seven, on Shoshana Rabbah. Post Shoshana Rabbah, I never set aside that item for it to be mukta, because I know I'm not going to perform the mitzvahs anymore. Why? Says the Ritva, similarly to the Ran that he said before, because I'm not, it's a something the Rabbanan during Bein HaShemashos. I'm not going to take the Esrog anymore during Bein HaShemashos. So therefore, says the Ritva, when it comes to the Esrog going into Shmini Atzeres, there is no carryover. The Haktzah and the Shein Mukta that I gave and delivered to this Esrog was up until which barrier? The end of the day, seventh day, which is where I'm going to perform the mitzvah. Why are you going to perform the mitzvah if you goof off and you don't wake up that morning into Bein HaShemashos? Because Sofik Derabbanan Lekula, so I'm not going to take it anyways, Bein HaShemashos. So therefore, the Shein Mukta had nothing to do with what? Had nothing to do with the next halacha, the next day, going into Yontif. It doesn't even touch what? The twilight period. Because I'm not even going to be yotzei the mitzvah during the twilight period. However, says the Ritva, what the Gemara meant to say, when it comes to Sukkah, that if I get hungry, I'm going to go into the Sukkah and I'm going to eat. So then therefore what? That now has to deal with what halacha? What inyanim? The inyanim of Kedushas Yontif. This is now touching on what? On something yontiftik. On a muktzah that's not just a muktzah based on my das for the mitzvah purpose, but rather a muktzah for what? The halachos of Shmini Atzeres. The halachos of Yontif. Says the Ritva, the halacha is that something going on to Yontif. The pasuk says, "Ve'ichinu es asher yaviu." You need a hachana, you need a preparation before going into Yontif. So therefore what? It needs to be that going into Yontif of Shmini Atzeres, this thing was mutter. Is that true, says the Ritva? Going into Yontif, this thing was absolutely mutter when it comes to Sukkah? No, it's not. But Haraya, if I would have a meal going into the next twilight period and be hungry, I would have to what? Go into the Sukkah and represent the fact that this has Kedusha Sukkah. So if you want to know a second before Yontif, was this thing Mukhan going into Yontif? Says the Ritva, absolutely not. And therefore, that's enough to now decide and determine that the item is absolutely what for the entire duration of the day on Shmini Atzeres, it's Mukta. It was not Mukhan, Miba Od Yom. Yet, when it comes to the Esrog, there was a definitive cutoff. There was a barrier. There was a stoppage point. There was nothing that happened and carried over into Shmini Atzeres. So therefore, was the Esrog Mukhan going into Shmini Atzeres? For sure. A second before Shmini Atzeres, it was good. And therefore, the Ritva says, that's the difference. The question you have to ask yourself is, the nature of Yontif, which has this halacha of migo diskatzosh, that whatever the halacha is for Bein HaShemashos is going to be halacha for the rest of that holy day, whether it's Shabbos and Yontif. So now you have to figure out, is the scenario that you're talking, the mukta that you're talking about, affected by the day that you're dealing with? So going into Shmini Atzeres, was there an ability for this to be mukhan beforehand? So when it comes to Sukkah, no. When it comes to Lulav and Esro, yes. Because it's over. The mitzvah is done. And there is no halacha that it has to continue into Bein HaShemashos, and I wasn't even going to take it in Bein HaShemashos. So therefore the Ritva draws the distinction that Shmini Atzeres is going to be also practically, even though, says the Ritva, it might have been Machmas Yom Sha'avar, it might have been that the Siba and the reason why it's being Aser is because of a halacha that pertained to something historically, but says to the Ritva, I don't care about that. I disagree with the Tosos. I don't accept that there's a halacha that migo diskatsoi doesn't apply to something that is that the reason why it's mukta is because something historical, because something from the day before. Says the Ritva, that could have migo diskatsoi also. That could affect and determine the next day, the eighth day as well. Yet what the Ritva is the determining is the most important question you have to ask yourself. Are you dealing with mukta of Yom Tov and Shabbos, or are you dealing with a mukta of mitzvah? And therefore, when it comes to mukta and mitzvah, there could be a cutoff line. When it comes to the din of Shmini Atzeres, going into Shmini Atzeres, what was the halacha? This item has to be prepared and be mutter going into the day of Shmini Atzeres, before twilight. Was that the case? The answer is no, and therefore, it's not huchan, it's not muchan, it's mukta as opposed to muchan, and therefore it's going to be usr. So not only does the Ritva differ in his explanation of the Gemara, but fundamentally, there is going to be a machlokas between the Ritva and Tosas about the general principle of mukta machmas yom sha'avar. The Ritva has no qualms, no issue with saying that migo diskatsoi and bein hashmashos of yontif could also affect, just from a practical standpoint. Was this usher going in to yontif, even if the reason was because of the day before, that's going to be something that's going to determine and prohibit the next day. Yet it just happens to be, when it comes to an esrog, you didn't run into that issue. But if you would run into that issue, and you would have had to abstain from moving that around during Beit HaShmashos because of the history, because of the nature of the day before, that is something that Migo Diskatsai for sure applies to. But what's the rationale, Rabosa? What's the reason? We just kind of dealt with all the different Gemaras and how the Rishonim dealt with the Gemaras. But what's underlying their machlokes? Let's go back to the way Tosos is dealing with this issue. Tosos, Rabosa, we have to realize this machlokes Tosos in the Ritva is not just a fundamental machlokes about mukta. Tosos and the Ritva are going to argue what this Pesach is the chametz mukta on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. According to the Ritva, you better believe it, it's mukta. Mukta machmas yom sha'avar is a problem. According to Tosos, mukta machmas yom sha'avar is not a problem, and it will not be mukta. Yet what's the reason? What's the reason? We already dealt with that. What's the reason? What's the reason that Tosos is makel about this? So comes along with Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He says the following idea. A few other Achronim have a similar idea. It's a fascinating idea, and it really deals with other concepts of mukta as well, and other scenarios of mukta. It's the halacha called gamru bidei adam. What does it mean, gamru bidei adam? So the Gemara talks in Beitza about the following scenario. You have food that's on the fire, going into Bein HaShmashos, that's not edible yet. Like we spoke about, it was Michael Bender, so whatever it is, it's not so edible, it's not fit. So one should logically really approach this food and say, no one's going to eat this item, right? No, this item is raw, whatever it is, it's not edible, right? And you took care of all the Shehiya, Azar issues, whatever. But Lamaisa, how do we get out of what issue? The food is what? It's Mukta. Bein HaShmashos, this food wasn't edible. It shouldn't be used. It shouldn't be. So the Gemara says, how do you use that? How do you eat that food? So Gemara says, no, that's gamru b'dei adam. That's something that you knew within 10 minutes, or within a little bit of time, this thing is going to be mutter. It's inevitable, it's automatic that this thing is going to finish its process, it's going to finish its cooking or whatever it is, and it's going to be fit. So something you already see, the Gemara is saying, Poskim talk about this, legabe clothing in a washing machine, going into Shabbos, getting around all the other issues about Hashmas, Kol, whatever it is, but just potentially. The garments were not fit going into Shabbos, and yet now they're all washed and they're clean. So one should really argue, Bein HaShmashos, what? Migo diskatsoi. It wasn't fit, it wasn't right. Argue some of the post-commercials. Zalman talks about this. Maybe not. Maybe since I knew the cycle would be done in a half hour, and I knew it would be mutter, and it would be a dry up, or stuff in the dryer, it's going to be mutter, it's going to be done. So even though technically it wasn't usable during Bein HaShmashos, now it's going to be usable now. So take Sir Shlomo Zalman Arbach and a group of other Achronim, that paradigm, and they plug it back into our sugya. Yes, it's true. practically, because Bein Hashmashos is a Safek Yom, Safek Laila, that, yeah, I can't use that Mukta, I can't use that Chametz, I can't move that Chametz around on Yontif. And on Bein Hashmashos as well, because it might be Yontif. But what do I know? It's like the washing machine. It's like the pots on the fire. I know that there's a foreseeable future that that Isser is going to be removed. So it's for that reason, potentially, Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar is not going to create a shame, Mukta, says Tosfos, into the next day. Because it's no different than what? Gamru Bidei Adam. Something that's automatically going to be Mutter. So just like the Gemara said when it comes to the pots, or we're arguing when it comes to the washing machine, the dryer, that it's going to be Mutter because it's something that's automatic, something that we see in the foreseeable future is going to be Mutter, that's also something that what? Is a Mukta because of yesterday during the Bein Hashmashos, Machmas Yom Sha'av. So potentially, some of the Achronim argue, maybe that was the Yisod, maybe that was the rationale from Tosos to argue that this would be Mutter. The question is, it's a good argument, but what's the opinion of the Ritva? Why is it that the Ritva argues and holds that no, Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar is something that is entirely Usser and entirely Mukta, and is going to be still problematic in the next day if it actually realistically was Usser during the Bein Hashmashos period. Meaning the Ritva says no matter what reason, no matter what happens during Bein Hashmashos, whether it's historically, whether it's not historically, if this thing was actually Usser during Bein Hashmashos, that's going to be something automatically to carry over the next day. And potentially the Ritva is going to say the Chametz from Bein Hashmashos from the seventh day is going to be Mukta even going into Shabbos. The Ritva, in his explanation, explains that there's something fundamental that you need when it comes to items being usable on Shabbos and Yontif and items being Mukta and not being usable on Shabbos and Yontif. He says that you need Hechinu Miba'od Yom. He says that you need something that now there was a preparation process. It was something, even if you don't actively prepare, was something that during the weekday, during the day before Yontif or Shabbos, it was Muchan Miba'od Yom, a second before. So according to the Ritva, to define something not to be problematic through Migo Diskatsoi, it's not sufficient just to be okay from a historical perspective, or to have a rationale that Bein Hashmashos is not going to affect this item. The zeroing point, the point that I'm focusing on, whether or not an item is going to be Mukta, is not so much Bein Hashmashos, but is more what? Is more before. This item had to be usable, had to be prepared, had to have what? The source of all of Mukta, Hachonah Miba'od Yom. So therefore, no matter how you slice it, no matter what your rationale is, no matter how much you want to argue that this Migo Diskatsoi, this Bein Hashmashos is historical, it's not so much now, it's more based on the day before, it's based on, says the Ritva, bottom line, from a practical standpoint, was this thing usable from before Bein Hashmashos? The answer is, a second before Bein Hashmashos, was there a hachana on it? Says the Ritva, no. Says the Ritva, that's where Migo Diskatsoi takes over. I don't care if you have all the arguments of the world, if it's yesterday's, if it's today's. Bottom line, it's not Muchan Miba'od Yom. It was not usable going in before Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos is not the Gorim. It's the fact, what's the Gorim? The second before Bein Hashmashos, it wasn't Muchan. That's something that creates Mukta. And therefore, no matter what the rationale, no matter what the reason, no matter what direction you're coming from, Yom Sha'avar, Yom Sha'avar, says the Ritva, bottom line, it was Usser. Therefore, the Ritva says, Migu Diskatsoi, even Machmas Yom Sha'avar will be prohibited. And says the Ritva, aye, how are you going to explain the other Gemara of Tosos? Beitza Shinol de Bezeh, Muteris Bezeh, when it comes to Yontif Sheni, right? That's a kasha on the Ritva. The Ritva, how do you deal with that? A Beitza that was born on the first day Yontif, going into the second day of Yontif, why don't you say, Bein Hashmashos, it was Aser, and it wasn't Uchan? Says the Ritva, teri kishmaka answer. The end of the Ritva. Don't ask me from Yontif to Yontif Sheni. Rabbo say, what's Yontif Sheni? Why do we keep Yontif Sheni? Sveik of the Yoma. We're not sure which day. Says the Ritva, no matter how you slice it, one of those days are what? Are weekday. That's why Beit Hashanah B'zeh is Mutaris B'zeh. Because if today is Yontif, then yesterday wasn't Yontif. If yesterday was Yontif, then what? It's Mutaris B'zeh because today is not Yontif. Well, so therefore, says the Ritva, don't ask Bikashas that's now going to be a kasha of why Beit Hashanah B'zeh and Mutaris B'zeh when it comes to Yontif Sheni, because Yontif Sheni, one of those days are chol. So of course you don't say Migo Diskatzai, and that has nothing to do with the sugya of Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar. And what will the Ritva say from the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Dalid, that Beit Hashanah B'zeh Asura B'zeh? And Tosos asked, why didn't the Gemara have to say the reason of Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar? So the Ritva will answer. If you read the next line of the Gemara, Rabosai. Andy, look at the Gemara. The Gemara in Beitza says what? Hacha ba'achana derabba kamiflegi. Zook, what does that mean? That's exactly the language of the Ritva. The argument is what, whether or not something has to be mucham mibudol yom. The Ritva is not only not a the Gemara is not only not a kasha on the Ritva, it's a riot to the Ritva. The Gemara is saying, Beit Hashanah B'zeh, Asur B'zeh. Why? Because you need Hachana. You need it to be Muchan Mibod Yom. Which is exactly what the Ritva is saying is the source. Why Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar won't make a difference. And even if it's from a historical reason, bottom line, was it Mutter going into Yontif? The answer is no. A second before Bina Shvashas, it was Asur. That's enough of a reason that it's going to be prohibited. So Rabbi said, at the end of the day, when we go through all the riots, when we go through all the Gemaras, we have a fundamental machlokes between the Ritva and Tosfos. It's not only the Ritva, Rabosai. Tosfos quotes Rashi Shita, Rashi and Sukkah, that seem to also imply this principle of Mukta Machmas Yom Sha'avar. And that will have tremendous implications on our scenario, on our halacha. Tosfos might have an additional logic because he wants to compare it to Gamru B'dei Adam, like Rav Shlomo Zamenek explained, but we need to know who we paskin like for this year Yom Tov. So let me just share with you a line from Rabbi Kiva Eiger towards the end of his Tshuva in Siman Hei. Rabbi Kiva Eiger says as follows. His example is an interesting example, but one could create the example in other areas that will for sure be mukta. So the Rabbi Kiva Eiger has it as follows. Ach b'yom ha-kippurim gam kein al yidei isur yom ha-kippurim memela kol maichel have mukta. We have a question, what happens? In the times of the Gemara, says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, there were times that it could work out that Yom Kippur fell out on Friday. So immediately following Yom Kippur was what day? Shabbos. Were you allowed to eat food on Yom Kippur? The answer was no. So ask Rabbi Kiva Eiger, so all your food should be mukta on Shabbos. Now, one could really question the whole assumption. Isn't it mukta to feed your children? Isn't it mukta to feed other people? But Rabosai, you don't even have to. So says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, on the assumption that would be a problem, says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, lo matzinu, that anyone would aser all my food for Shabbos on a Yom Kippur, that's samach to Shabbos. When we high time a lechore yesh raya, says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, la toisis, the mukta machbas yom sha'avar lo amrina. The imlokein, the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, vacherim, the sphirule, shemishkacha shabbos v'yom ha'kippurim, smuchim zelazeh, imkein, b'shabbos shachar yom ha'kippurim, yehe achiv le'sanos, techol ha'macholim, have mukta b'migo diskatzoi, b'in ha'shmoshos. Says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, you'd have a fascinating phenomenon. You would not only have to fast on Friday, according to those Tanaim, you would have to fast on Shabbos because all your food is mukta, and we never found such a scenario. But then Rabbi Kiva Eiger says another scenario. V'chein be'eretz Yisrael, im yom echad de Pesach b'Shabbos, yeh b'Shabbos shela'achrav shu'achar ha'Pesach, lechol chametz b'migudus katzoi b'in ha'shmashos. So says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, namely, our year. Our case is the proof that we must paskin like Tosfos because no one ever held that migudus katsai would prohibit it, and that's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's psak about this shaila. What? And the chametz is not muktzah because we paskin like who? We paskin like Tosos. And that's exactly what I have over here, Rabbi Yashiv Sefer on Meseches Beitza. The Yesh Lodin, B'Shvir Shal Pesach Shechalios Be'erev Shabbos. So he says, a person who's makbid not to eat matzah sheinah shmura, he eats shmura matzah all of Yontif, im mutter lo le'echlo b'Shabbos achar ha-Pesach. Can you have matzah that's not shmura on Shabbos after Pesach? So, says the Rebbe Yashiv, based on this Rebbe Akiva Eiger, since we paskin like Tosos, so for all these scenarios and all these questions, one would be permitted to be makel on these shailas. B'yesh litlo sheila b'machlikas shel atoisis v'aritva, del atoisis lo yeh muktas kevin nitzkatzoi machvas yom shalvar, and therefore, it would be permitted. You'll ask me, why isn't it permitted anyways? Because for those people that are not makbid, so it's not muktzah for them, so I could feed them. So Rabbi Yashiv points out here, because there are some rishonim that hold that even if you take a neder against something, and I have a personal iser on it, so some rishonim hold that that would already create it to be muktzah for me, from the fact that I have a personal chumrah and a personal iser, so that would also affect someone who doesn't eat matzah sheina shmura. He only eats matzah shmura throughout Pesach. Will that affect the next day? Will be dependent on this machlokas Tosas and the Ritva. So even outside of chametz, you have other scenarios and cases that it would be affecting, and also would affect, as he goes on to say, kitnios and all those things. Right, so he says it depends, and it's your kitnios, and it would all come back fundamentally to this shaila. But since Rabbi Akiva Eiger already said that we pass it like places, because otherwise a Shabbos after Yom Kippur it would be mukta, and you wouldn't be able to eat anything on the Shabbos after Yom Kippur. Again, I'm not 100% sure why Rabbi Akiva Eiger is assuming that the fact that I can't feed it to my kid doesn't make it, that I can feed it to my kid on Yom Kippur doesn't make it automatically not muktzah, but for whatever reason that he's assuming not like that, and therefore we know we never found that in these scenarios it would consider it to be muktzah on the next day. So also in a scenario of Pesach after, of Shabbos after Shvi'i Shel Pesach, these items would not be muktzah, and you would be permitted to move around and use these items on the Shabbos post Pesach, because we pass on like Tosas against the Ritva.
What about since we sold our chametz?
Yeah,
wouldn't that be an issue of?